Our subject today is make me happy, make me glad, because you don't want to see me mad. Make me happy, make me glad, because you don't want to see me mad. I want to begin with two stories. Say the second one first. Okay, I won't, but just remind me, because I'm going to forget it in a second. The second story is about a minefield, okay? We'll get to that in a second. There were once two brothers living on two sides of Europe. We'll call them Chaim and Yanko. So Chaim sends Yanko a message, says, Yanko, you got to come. The doctors say I'm in a terrible shape, and they're giving me 3 weeks to live. I'd like to see you before I go. I know it's a two-week journey. I'd very much like you to come. So Yankel gets the message. He packs his bags. He's pretty depressed. He starts traveling across Europe. And 2 weeks later, he shows up at Chaim's door. Yankel comes into the city. He asks, is Chaim all right? They tell him, seems good to us. He comes closer to his house. He asks the neighbors, is Chaim all right? They say, oh, yeah. He comes to Chaim's house. And he's happy to hear he's still okay, he's still alive. He wanted to make sure he got there on time. And he sees a lot of hullabaloo, everything's going on, but it doesn't seem like they're preparing for a funeral. He comes in, and he sees Chaim sitting there, and everyone's eating a beautiful meal, and Chaim says, you're just on time, tomorrow's the day. He says, well, don't tell me, what's happening tomorrow? He says, tomorrow I'm marrying off my son. He says, you're marrying off your son? I'm so happy that's going to happen while you're still with us. Chaim says, Yanko was the sick one? Who's the sick one? Yanko was the sick one? Yanko says to Chaim, he says, yeah, thank God I'm fine. Everything's all right. He says, really? What'd the doctors say? He says, there were no doctors. I was fine all along. So Chaim says, then why'd you send me the letter that way? Yanko says, look, if I would have told you I'm marrying off the son, you would have been busy. You have a lot of things to do. If you have to come mourn my death, you have time. If you have to come and celebrate my life, you don't have time. So I wanted you to come and celebrate my life. It's a very important time in my life, marrying off the son. I want you to be a part of it. Now, this is an amazing story because we make time to visit people Shiva. We make time to yell at people. We make time to get annoyed. We make time for a lot of negative things in our life. And you will have the time to do a lot of things with your wife. You have to create happy times. Part of building a marriage is creating positive times together. You think it happens naturally, it doesn't. The nature of life is that we're always busy and we're always pressed and there are always things pending and things that are dissatisfying and things that are annoying and there's a lot to complain about and there are a lot of troubles to share. Can we smile? Can we come home and share positive things? There will always be things to be sad about. There will. There will always be things to be annoyed about. But there are also always things to be glad about and things to be thankful for. Rabbi Akiva was with his wife. They had hay. He would burn the hay to learn Torah, and the neighbors would complain, it's making a lot of smoke. Rabbi Akiva said, I have to learn. It's all I got. The only thing I have is hay. They'd sleep in the hay for warmth. And they were so bitterly poor. It was his second wife, Yael. He already had a son from the first marriage, Yoshua. And in the morning, he'd pluck the hay out of her hair. And they tried to be happy, learning Torah. Hashem saw they were working so hard. So Hashem sent Elio, dressed up as a beggar. And he comes to them and he says, my wife just gave birth. Can you spare me some hay to keep the baby warm? We don't have any hay. And it's freezing. So Rabbi Akiva quickly gathered some hay and gave the man. He doesn't know it's Elio. And then Elio leaves. And Rabbi Akiva turns to his wife and says, you see, we thought we were poor. Some people don't even have hay. But you see, he needed that feeling. We can feel satisfied when we feel like I'm better than someone. If I feel like I'm at the bottom, then I'm not happy. But if I feel like I'm not at the bottom, I got some things better than some people and some things worse than other people. But so long as I feel like I'm not the bottom rung, I can be happy. You see, even Rabbi Akiva, it helped him to feel like there are people who are worse off than me. We can create happiness. A, there's a lot to be happy about. And B, we have to work on creating it. Story number two. A good friend of mine told me this long before I got married, maybe even before I was dating. He said, you get married and you have conversations with your wife and suddenly she gets really upset at something you said. And you think, why'd she get so upset? So if you came to our classes, he didn't say this. Hopefully, you understand more about what's going on. Hopefully. But there will be many times where you feel like you're walking in a minefield. You took the wrong step. Explosion. You say, okay, I'm not stepping there again. She asks you, is this tight on me? What size shirt do you think I should buy? Okay. What are you going to say?
Whatever your size is.
What do you think my size is? First of all, it's a good answer.
Let me check.
So then she's going to try on a small, and she won't be able to fit in. So what do you say?
How do you feel?
The average man says, well, why don't you try a medium? What are you supposed to say? You say, boy, they make these shirts smaller and smaller every year. Right? Isn't this crazy? This is like a kid's shirt. Right? But you're going to be the average guy, and she's going to say, should I try a medium? And you're going to say, I would try a large. And she's going to look at you like ready to kill you. Sorry. I shouldn't have done that to you. I'm sorry. You could drink. Laughing and drinking doesn't work together. So now when you're hearing it like this, it sounds obvious. In real life, you will see yourself making these mistakes. Suddenly you'll go, oh no. And she's going to give you that look, and you know that's it. The shopping spree is over. And she'll go, like, I don't want to buy clothes today. And you're going to think, I took a day off of work. And I slept out here. And I've been sitting here in all these stores just to buy something with her. And now she's saying she doesn't want to buy a shirt today. What am I supposed to do now? Well, learn your lesson. That's number one. So number two we'll address in other classes. But think. When they ask us questions, don't be quick to answer. Our obvious answer is not always the right one. Right? The couple is walking out of a hall and there's a path straight to the bus stop and there's a path that does this to the bus stop and she asks him, which way do you think we should go? So he looks at the bus stop and says, there. Right? Okay? We would all make that mistake. She asked you a question, stop and think. Your wife asks you, would you like tea or coffee? And you're thinking, I'm not thirsty. So what do you say? Neither, thanks. Why don't you get the hint and get up and say, what can I get you, dear? Your wife says, do you want to take out the garbage? And you say, not now. Your wife says, is the garbage full? And you look at it and you say, I don't think so. We can stuff a few more things in there. Your wife asks you, is the kid's diaper full? And you say, I'm not sure. I'll get to it. The kid has a diaper rash, she says. I know, but I'm busy. She just asked you to change the diaper, but we don't hear it that way. You know, it sounds very obvious in this sterile setting where you're not doing anything but listening and thinking, what does she mean? Try it in life. You're doing a bunch of things. Women don't ask directly. So coming back to our story, we have to create happy times. It is highly recommended. You have date night. Make a night during the week where you go out. Going out doesn't have to be expensive. Going out does have to be, and women, if you're listening to this class, shut the recorder. This isn't for you. This is only for men. Going out does have to be that you could play to your husbands, but it's not for women. It's not fair. Women listen to this class, and then they come back and they get annoyed at their husbands who did not listen to this class, or for whatever reason this doesn't work for them, and they say, why didn't you do it this way? So what I'm about to say is something that women want and don't always articulate, and then when the husband doesn't do it, so they live with it. But if they hear it in class, then they come back and they're like, why didn't you do that? Uh-huh. Why didn't you do that? And he doesn't even know what she wants. So what date night does have to be is that you take care of the meal. So I say date night doesn't have to be expensive. You could take a pack of tuna. You could take a few crackers. You could slice a few vegetables. You could go out on a picnic and have a wonderful meal that will cost you 20 shekel. So the husband tells his wife, I heard a great idea last night. Date night doesn't have to be expensive. You can make a pack of tuna. You could slice a bunch of vegetables. If you buy fresh bread, it'll be great. So what date night does have to be is that she doesn't have to prepare the food. She doesn't have to clean up after the food. Meaning, why do women want to go out and men are not so into going out? Because men say, I like your food. I'm going to the restaurant. Who knows what they're going to serve me? Women say, I don't like cooking. I'll cook for you. But if I'm going out, I don't want to be slaving over the stove. I don't want to have to wash the pot afterwards. I don't want to have to put the food in the fridge. We end the date and then I want to be with you and I have to deal with putting the food away. That's not a date night for me. So some women, there are exceptions. There are some women who say, no, I want to cook for you. It's the exception. Most women feel like, I want to spend time together. That's why they want to go out. It's not that they really think the food when they went out is better than their own food. Very often it's not. But they get the freedom. They don't have to prepare. They don't have to clean up. They don't have to deal with all the pressures involved. So you should set out a night, which is date night. Be prepared. Your wife will tell you, forget it. Always when you're about to get close, the Yetzer Hara comes in and says, no, you don't. You're about to do it's positive. The Yetzer Hara comes in and says, I got to make problems. And that's why every Friday afternoon in every Jewish home, there's pressure. And it doesn't matter if Shabbos comes in at 4 or Shabbos comes in at 8, there's pressure. And it doesn't matter if you had everything prepared beforehand, there's pressure. And that's why when the woman goes to mikveh, so you have a biblical mitzvah to be intimate that night. So it should be the day you're closest to one another. No. The final hours to mikveh, the final days to mikveh. In most homes, there are explosions. So much so that one couple once said to me, blew me away, because it's against halacha. The guy says to me, we give up on intimacy on mikveh night. It just doesn't work. There's too much pressure. That's wrong. The halacha says you owe it to her. You have to show her you missed her. What does that mean? You weren't together for 13, 14 days. Now she goes to the mikveh. You could be together. So what's the problem? There are explosions. You're walking on a minefield. Whatever you say is the wrong answer. Overcome it. Realize what's really happening. There's a buildup of tension. Date night. We said, make me happy. Make me glad. Because you don't want to see me mad. So there's a key component here. It's called, you make me happy. We come home and say, why aren't you happy? I thought I married a positive wife. Can't you see life in a positive way? And the answer is, it's your responsibility, guys. This is really not a class for women. It's your responsibility to make your wife happy. And very often men come to the conclusion, I could never make her happy. And almost always that's wrong. You have to view it differently. You walk home and she's upset. You walk home and all she has to do is complain. Sit there and empathize. Sit there and find solutions. Offer solutions. So a guy came to this class once and his wife said, no, it depends what. Offer solutions could be do it. His wife tells him, you know, the garbage is overflowing. And he goes, oh my gosh, you must have so many bugs in the kitchen. I said to empathize. She says, you know, the sink is full of dishes. And he goes like, oh boy, you must be so hungry and you have no dishes to use. I feel so bad for you. Honey, this is terrible. Can I take you out? She's like, you can do the dishes. He says, I didn't discuss that. I'm just empathizing. No, it's not only about empathy. They also want solutions, which means do some work. There is the component of empathy, but there's also the component of be a part of the solution. You have to find what she wants when. But we have to create positive times. And when we come to create positive times, we will face challenges. If you know that you're going on a date on a certain night, you set up Tuesday nights works for you, Wednesday nights work for you. You should have one night during the week and Friday night as a special time. That means you might say, I'll have guests Shabbos day and not Friday night. You might have guests Friday night, but then you have to learn how to end the meal and tell them, thank you so much. And they might be crude people who say, if you were having tea now, I'll be happy to join you. And you could say, that's a great idea on a different occasion, but right now it doesn't work. But thank you so much for coming. Have a great Shabbos. You have to know how to walk people out the door. There's nothing you can do. If you're going to let people trample over your Friday night, you'll never have a Friday night. You want to go to Shalom Zachar? Go to the Shalom Zachar, celebrate they had a boy, and come back home. Don't sit there schmoozing, drinking beer with the guys and having chickpeas, and then you walk home at 12:30 at night, and your wife is falling off her feet, and then you're all happy. Hey, let's have some time together. And she's like, I was here for 3 hours waiting for you. Now you want time together? I don't have strength for that. And there's nothing wrong with what I do many times. Is on my way home from shul, I'll go knock on the person's door and I'll say, I hear you're having a Shalom Zachar tonight. And they'll say, yeah, in 3 hours. And I'll say, I can't come in 3 hours. I wanted to come and say mazel tov. I feel for you. I'm happy you had a child. You should have a lot of mazel. And Bezrat Hashem will celebrate at the bris, whatever. I won't be able to come to a Shalom Zachar. If you don't create times, you'll never have times. If you don't shut your cell phone when you go on a date, you won't have time with your wife. Yeah, you'll have time. I'm with you. I'm really with you. I'm just checking my email. You don't want me to answer my boss? No, your cell phone shouldn't be there. But the babysitter might be calling. Okay, so figure out what you do with it. Today for 10 shekel, you get a SIM card. You can get a SIM card free from Pelephone. You could have another SIM card that's only for the babysitter. It's worth investing in the ability to have a line that only critical things come in, and your boss is not critical when you're on a date. The babysitter is critical. Your boss is not critical. You have to create times. There's no, again, make me happy, make me glad. You have to invest in making your wife happy. It doesn't happen on autopilot. And that means investing time. That means showing her she's cherished. That means writing notes. That means creating positive times. Creating them as a date night. Creating them as a Friday night. Many couples, Motzei Shabbos, they walk into Friday night, they're wiped. You rest up on Shabbos, then Motzei Shabbos you could have quality time. You'll figure out in your own marriage what works, but you have to create it. On its own, it doesn't happen. So you'll get married, and you'll have zero responsibilities, and you'll have more money than you know what to do with, because you don't have any expenses. What's the big deal? And you'll wonder why I said this. But then you'll have 3 kids, and you'll have kids keeping you up at night. And you're barely going to be able to have your eyes open as you do work. And when you come home and your wife says there are 3 diapers waiting for you, you're going to wonder, how long has she been waiting for me to walk through the door? They didn't just all 3 fill their diapers. And you're going to be working your head off, and suddenly life is going to look different. Our classes are about life. They're not only about the first year of marriage. The first year of marriage, it might be easy. I want to conclude with one more thing that's important in creating quality time, and that is going on trips. Do not think that you can create at home what you can create outside the home. When you leave home, many pressures fall by the wayside. All the dirt you have to clean up isn't there. The dishes in the sink aren't there. The phone calls aren't there. The computer isn't there. The papers that are in disarray aren't there. A change of atmosphere is very important. It's important to go away. When you can go away for a few days, that's amazing. Many couples... relationships are like steps. You go up a step, and then you're on that level. Now you might go down a little bit, but you're basically on that level. And then you go up another step. How do you get up steps? How do you move your relationship up? Sometimes a 5-day, a 2-week vacation can make the marriage a different marriage. You can reach places which afterwards you're walking off of a totally different stage. There are other things that take you up steps, but time, creating time together and away from home. You have to get away from home. And when you go on trips, walking in nature is a magnificent thing. You don't have to take long, elaborate hikes, but the fact that you got away and you're in nature, you're looking at the trees, you're not with the technology around, that creates a bond that other things can't create. Some people don't like nature. I don't like mosquitoes. I don't like bugs. I don't like sitting on the grass. There are people that don't like a lot of things. Find the solution that works for them. It could be going to a zoo. It could be going to a museum. It could be going to an aquarium, you know. It's nice and clean. The fish are behind the glass. Okay?
I don't like fish.
Fine. You'll find what works for you, but you have to get away from the house. You could go look at buildings, okay? But I think nature, those who can enjoy nature, nature can give us things that you can't build in a relationship differently. So our main theme today was the importance of our responsibility to make her happy, creating positive times, the story we began with, time, we always have time for problems, like a Yankel and Chaim. We have to create time to do positive things, and that's what propels our relationship forward. Taking things out of the house, having a date night, having set times that we invest with one another, and even if that means at the expense of other things. And that can also be remembering the anniversary, making something special of the anniversary. It sounds obvious to you. Believe me, things go on, and suddenly the time flies by, and celebrate the birthday. Is birthday a Jewish thing? Loving someone is a Jewish thing. Find excuses to make big occasions. I know a couple that the first years of their marriage, they would celebrate every half year they were married. They didn't want to wait for the anniversary, so every half year they'd make this big occasion. We're married in 1.5 years. Good for them. Find excuses to celebrate. It's a good thing. So,